Take your Bible, if you would. I know we started a series in the book of John, but I just think the world events have forced many preachers to go a different direction, and I'm going a different direction today as I feel led of the Holy Spirit of God. I'd like you to find the book of Hebrews. Hebrews is in the New Testament. It's near the back of your Bible. Now, I would love for you to begin by finding the 12th chapter of the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 12 will be our text. I don't know that I will turn you very much from that. Yes, I will, a couple of verses. But I want to preach to you today a message that is entitled Finding Stabilization in a Shaking World. Finding Stability in a Shaking World. I take the two words shaking world from the text of Hebrews chapter 12. When I announced the service online and made a presentation to it, I told you that the service would have two purposes today. The first purpose would be to strengthen our faith. The second purpose would be to settle our fears. And I believe there's only one place to go to strengthen our faith and to settle our fears, and that's the Word of God. The Bible says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And so that's the desire of your pastor today. I'm preaching this message with a pastor's heart. I'm preaching this message to be encouraging to you. And I hope and pray that it does stabilize you. And I hope and pray it strengthens and it settles you today, especially for in the moment we find ourselves. But that it also would inspire you to serve the Lord faithfully. I will admit to you that the passage of Scripture I'm getting ready to read will take concentration. And I ask for your concentration. I try to help you as much as I can, but we're jumping right into the middle of a chapter. I'll give you the context of the chapter in just a second. But as we jump into the chapter, I just want you to hear the text as it's being read. Find, if you would, chapter 12 of the book of Hebrews, verse number 12. The Bible says in verse number 12, beginnings with two words, but ye. The word but you know to be a conjunction. It's a contrast. It exercises and develops a change in direction. The apostle has been making a point. Now he is making a different point or an application to that point. The ye there are the believers, those of us that know the Lord Jesus Christ. But ye are come unto Mount Zion. You may have heard of that mount. And as you know, the nation of Israel and the history of Moses. Unto the city of the living God. By the way, our God's alive today. He's alive in my heart. Is he alive in your heart? Amen. And the heavenly Jerusalem into an innumerable company of angels. I like that. I like knowing that as a believer, that my life is involved with angels. You have guardian angels, you have ministering angels, and sometimes we entertain angels unawares and just to know their ministry and their protection. To the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, to God the judge of all, to the spirits of just men made perfect. And verse 24, Hebrews chapter 12. And to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of the sprinkling that speaketh better things than of Abel. Boy, Abel's blood spoke great things. The blood of Jesus speaks even greater. See that ye refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escaped not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven. Stop there just a minute. Let me catch you up. You're the 11 o'clock crowd. You're a Bible crowd. You are theologians. Not me, Pastor. You can get this right. I'll help you by telling you the answer is not Abraham. Who was the great prophet to the nation of Israel? Who was the mouthpiece of God as they were coming through? Who did God meet with and speak to them on the mount, especially around the Mount of Zion? His name is Moses. That was better than the 830 crowd, right? So the whole book of Hebrews, the whole purpose of the book was to present to Jewish Christians how much better Jesus is than Moses was. How much better the new covenant is in his blood than the old covenant of stone and of law. How much better the real thing is as opposed to the shadow of things. For example, all of the sacrifices, all of the things in the temple that were symbolic, they were a shadow or a picture. They could never, with the blood of those animals, take away the sins of humanity. But there was one that came who was the Holy Lamb of God, whose shed blood does cleanse us from our sin, and his name is Jesus Christ. So the whole book of Hebrews, you could describe by one word, you could put the word better down. So in our passage, the writer of the book of Hebrews is reinforcing that, and he's explaining to the church here, to these Jewish Christians, who they are. And he's laying the foundation, and he says, now listen, fellas, if people had a responsibility to listen to Moses, and they rejected Moses, which they died in the wilderness under unbelief, right? You remember that. How much a greater responsibility do we have that to listen to the one that is speaking from heaven to us? By the way, come to chapter 1, verse number 1. This is a Bible lesson today, so turn in your Bible or your phone or whatever, but look at it so you can be sure you understand who he's talking about. Keep your hand in chapter 12. We're coming back. Hebrews chapter 1, verse number 1 says, God, who at sundry or various times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the who? Prophet. Moses, right? The prophets. Hath in these last days spoken unto us by his who? Son. Come back to chapter 12. Verse number 25 said, if they did not escape by not listening to Moses, then they're definitely not, we're not going to escape if we don't listen to the Lord Jesus. You need that as we move forward. Verse 26 of chapter 12. Whose voice then shook the earth, but now he hath promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. You remember at Mount Zion, when Moses spoke and God showed up, the earth, the mount shook. Now, Jesus is not only shaking the earth, he's shaking the heavens. And this word, verse 27, yet once more signifieth the removing of those things that are what? Underline it, highlight it, circle it. You need that word. Removing of those things that are shaken as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may do what? Remain. Okay. Verse 28. Wherefore we, that's anybody in this room that has the Spirit of God indwelling them. If that's you, would you say amen? We, receiving a kingdom which cannot be, in the King James, it's moved, or your Bible may say shaken. Let us have grace whereby we may, what are those two words? Serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. Finding stability in a shaking world. It does not take a rocket science to understand that the kingdoms of the world are shaking. The coronavirus has exposed the fragility of the systems of the world. Okay? Do I think that this microphone's got the devil in it today? Do I think that the world is falling? No. Do I think that we're headed for utter chaos? No. But I do think that people can get a good glimpse that we are not as in charge as we think we are in charge. Okay? So the world has systems, right? It has banking systems. It has food systems. It has health systems. It has political systems. And all of those systems seem to run fine until they don't run fine. For example, have you looked at your 401k? For example, banks have money. They don't have all of our money. I don't know if you know this. When you put your money in the bank, they give it to somebody else, right? The world has a health system. It works as long as it's not overrun. Publix has a system on how to restock their shelves until there's just too many people, right? So you have a global pandemic that is shaking the systems of the world. And it's interesting, the simple thing as a virus and the impact that it has on the world. Even if you're not a Christian, you can be able to see the fragility of everything collapsing. What this ought to do for the church is it ought to make sure that our trust is where it ought to be, in a kingdom which cannot be shaken. Right? So really and truthfully, this is an exposing time to the mind of humanity. This is an exposing time to the church of the Lord Jesus. And as the systems of the world are shaking, we have the wonderful promise that we have a kingdom that cannot be shaken. That kingdom lives inside of us in principle as the Lord Jesus. One day that kingdom will be set up upon the earth. But I got news for you. Jesus is not sitting on a throne worried about a vaccination for coronavirus. And he's not, the word of God is not shaking. Faith is not shaking. Truth is not shaking. The world system is shaking, and one day it will collapse. Your worth had better not be in what you own. When the world needs to take, it's going to take. You can have all the money you want. You can have all the license and protection you want. When they want it, they're going to get it. We can have all the freedoms we want until we don't have them. You can cry all you want to that you're an American. Try to go to Europe from America. Do you understand? You see how in just a matter of moments, the world system is circling the wagons to protect its system. And it's moving in that direction. Pastor, you're kind of scaring me. I'm not trying to scare you. I'm trying to secure you that there is a kingdom that cannot be shaken. So my desire today is to strengthen you, and it's to settle you in the Lord Jesus. And the book of Hebrews is perfect for this, because in some way the writer to the book of Hebrews is dealing with exactly what we are dealing with as a consequence in this moment, with fear, with the desire to recoil or to retreat from discouragement and depression, from panic and to just this all-out self-preservation and so on. The writer of Hebrews had to deal with this. Let me show you how he had to deal with it. He has a problem. Look, if you would, at chapter 10, the very last verse. In chapter 10 of the book of Hebrews, in the very last verse, you will read a truth that the writer of the book of Hebrews has given. The Bible says, but we are not of them who draw which way? Back unto what? Perdition, which is destruction or danger, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Now you need to understand the context of the Jewish Christian at this time with the book of Hebrews. The Jewish Christians at this time, when the writer of Hebrews wrote, were suffering horrific persecution. And the persecution had been so volatile and so dangerous and so destructive to them that they were trying to look for any way to avoid that persecution. And one of the ways that they were going to avoid that persecution was that they were going to thought that they could give up on trusting Jesus and go back into Judaism. Now hear this and learn something today, right? So what had happened was Jesus had been preached to them in his death, burial, and resurrection. Faith in eternal life and faith in Christ had been brought to them for salvation. And they had put their faith in the Lord Jesus. And they were trusting him. However, all of the sudden, some things began to happen. Number one was persecution began to happen. Life began to change. They went from turning the world upside down to a vicious attack from the world. And believe me, brother, whenever you suffer things like we're suffering, the devil's always looking for an opportunity. So in their mind, the devil comes to them and says, you're suffering this persecution for something that you can't even see, for this new way called faith. If you would just simply reject that way of faith and come back into Judaism, you'll be okay. By the way, you keep saying you're waiting for the Lord Jesus to come, but he's not come. And so as you read the book of Hebrews, there's this argument there where the devil says you're wasting your time trusting in a liar who was a lunatic. And what you need to do is you need to come back into Judaism. And you understand that Judaism was a form of religion and no religion will save you. Okay, so this is their mindset. We've got to draw back to escape the persecution. And they were justifying this move by the rationing in their mind that Jesus was not coming back. Not much different than what God's people are vulnerable today to do. To make a decision based on a disbelief or an unbelief or a panic or some type of mindset that aligns with the world system and not aligns with the biblical system. And so this was the temptation for them to come back. Let me show you where they had got and where I'm afraid we're headed. Look, go if you would to chapter number 10, if you would. Come on, it's a Bible study. Turn to chapter 10 and look if you would please at verse number 25. In chapter 10, verse number 25, the Bible says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. So they were kind of facing the same thing we're facing. Now, if you're watching online, don't get mad at your pastor. I love you. I hear you say amen right now online. Okay? But I believe that the devil is going to take advantage of this coronavirus when it comes to the church. The devil doesn't like us meeting. And he'll do whatever he can do to stop God's people from meeting. Now, I think we have to use wisdom, and we're submitted to our government leaders, and we will follow that. But understand, we have an enemy who hates the church of Jesus Christ. So these folks, even suffering persecution. You're not suffering persecution. You just can't buy toilet paper. Which I guess could be considered persecution in the right way. Right? Even in the midst of that, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves. Wow. Wow. And as you come in, as the apostle has laid the foundation, right? He's laid the foundation in the beginning of the book of the gospel of the Lord Jesus, how it was better than the law. The people have believed it, but the devil has come with persecution and with false teaching and working in their mind. Now the recoil is, I don't know that I can trust Jesus. I may have to self-isolate back into Judaism. Or at the most, I'm going to have to socially distance myself from the church, so I'm not going to attend. The Bible says there's nothing new. Right. So you have social distancing and self-isolation all the way in the back of the book of Hebrews. What brought them there? The shaking of the world system. Watch the effect it has on them in their personalities and in their practice. Look, if you would, at chapter number 12. Go, if you would, please, to verse number 12. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down. They were so weary and so beaten and so suffering. And the mind battle, think about the mind battle to where you're to the point where you're going to deny Jesus and come back into Judaism, or you're just going to social distance yourself away from anything that's called the church. They didn't get there at the beginning because they wanted to be there. They got there because they got beat down. They got there because they began to believe the systems of the world. They got there because they felt panic and they felt discouragement and they felt dissension and divisiveness. And eventually they got wore down, right? So I read an article from CNN that said 2 weeks out of school is useless for the kids. Useless. They want to go 8 weeks. Okay? This is for schools. Now, I don't know if they're going to do that or not, but I've noticed that the CDC starts recommending things, which they said into universities, going 8 weeks is better. If my kids are out of school for 8 weeks, I'm going to need help. Right? Okay? So we might be meeting weird for 2 weeks, but this thing could go 8 to 10. Okay. So we're lifting hands today, but we could get, right? Especially if we lack the assembling part together. Now watch the consequence of this. Wherefore lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees. And make straight paths for your what? Okay, so he's saying to them, listen, this panic, this fear, this discouragement, this heaviness, it's a vulnerable place for you. What you need to understand is you need to strengthen your hands and you need to lift up your feeble knees and you need to make straight your path. What is he saying there? He's saying you need to apply what you know. And that's the whole passage, chapter number 11. In chapter number 11, he lists for the nation their heritage of faith. And he's got them there now where their faith is being challenged because Jesus isn't coming back. Their faith is being challenged because they're suffering persecution. Now they're distanced and they're isolating. And he's saying, listen, whoa, 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 whoa. Don't get off path. Verse 13. Let and make straight paths for your feet. What's the next word? Starts with an L. Lest. Watch how often it's used. It's consequential. Lest that which is lame be dislocated or turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. He understands that in the position they are, they're vulnerable to be turned out of the way from following the Lord, out of the way from trusting the Lord. That's why he says in verse 14, follow peace with all men, holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God. lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled, lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. So understand what the writer is saying. He's saying, guys, this beat down, discouraged, panicked, weakened position that's making you want to draw away from the Lord in a distant or an isolation, which has brought about in your mind a disbelief in the Word of God, if you're not careful, this is going to have tremendous consequence in your spiritual life. This is what I am afraid of. I am afraid that the devil's going to try to change the church of the Lord Jesus forever through this problem. And I am afraid for the spiritual life of God's people. I'm telling you, you and I are not as strong a Christians by ourselves as we are together. Okay? It's all set up. I bought into it. Show the service online. You'll reach the world. Okay? Show the service online. People that can't come can watch. Okay? Fine. But now we have a vehicle that takes us away from the church and makes us individual. And you can just see how the old devil would love to take the opportunity away from that. And then, in the privateness of our personal lives, we get weary. We get busy. We don't read. We don't pray. We're not encouraged. We're not sharpened. And things begin to happen in our lives. And we get to the point where pretty soon we're in spiritual trouble. I'm not worried about you catching the coronavirus as much as I'm worried about you becoming spiritually unhealthy. That's the care for my church. Now, I ain't responsible for anybody else's church, but I'm responsible for this church. And I see what the enemy is doing here. So strengthen and settle us, right? So this is why the writer of Hebrews comes and he says, now wait a minute. We, if God is in you, would you say amen? If God is not in you, you're not a Christian. Nobody can be a Christian who's not inhabited by God. Nobody. Oh, we got a lot of people that may profess to be Christians, but unless God has moved inside of you through His Spirit based on your faith, then you're not a born-again Bible Christian. You might be an American Christian. You ain't a Bible Christian. Okay? So we that believe, we're looking at the kingdoms of the world shaking, and I don't want us to become like them, to where we want to isolate ourselves away from spiritual truth or distance ourselves into a spiritually dangerous place. Now, I understand if we have to do that medically, we have to use some wisdom here, but I'm talking spiritually. And I don't want this thing to be so panicked and burdensome on us that we come to a position where we're just... And then the effect of that, we have to remember that we have received a kingdom that cannot be shook. So you might not be able to get food at Publix, but I promise you God can feed you. You may lose your money. It ain't your money anyway. But I promise you God can provide. Just think about how close it could happen to the whole world collapse. No, Pastor. They would never let that happen. Then you explain to me how one man is going to come to the whole world at one time and the world's going to line up behind him looking for leadership. Because they have nothing. and they've lost everything. And he's going to stand up there with his silver tongue. And he's going to say, follow me. I'll lead you where you want to go. And he himself is indwelt with the devil. Okay? So our biblical focus has to be on the kingdom we have. Now, what's our responsibility? Look, if you would, at verse number 28. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. One of the things I have enjoyed, since there's no NBA, no NHL, no baseball, no anything to watch on television. I've watched every Hallmark movie there is. I know them by heart. Right? So I've learned something called a meme. When I say meme, do you know what I mean? A meme is these things they're putting on Facebook, right? And they're like little jokes. Bev and I are having the best time reading these memes. They're hilarious. So one of my favorite ones was this. All of you napkins that are buried in the glove boxes of our vehicles, it's time for you to rise and shine. So for all of us believers that are buried in this world, it's time for us to rise and shine the light of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. The hope of this book. We have a kingdom that cannot be shaken. I'm so glad I'm a Christian. I don't promise you things are going to get easier. I just promise you God is faithful. And let me tell you something. Your wealth is not in what you own. Mr. Businessman, in a moment it could be gone. Mr. Retirement Man, in a moment. In a moment, the systems of the world could collapse. Okay. But the throne of God is not going to collapse. Man, a kingdom that cannot be shaken. Shall we pray? Thank you for listening.